Grand Canyon University, a Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest-growing universities in the country, offering over 250 engaging programs online. Praised for its culture of community, students engage with faculty and connect with counselors who take a personalized approach for your success. GCU's online students received over $144 million in scholarships in 2021. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you qualify for. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy President's Day to you, America. Hope you're doing good. This is Todd Starnes. We are live in the Liberty University studios today. You know, a lot of the hosts take President's Day off, but you know what? We thought let's not go with the flow. Let's be a little rogue today, and so we're doing that. Good to have you with us, and we are following all sorts of crazy stories that are breaking around the country, including what's happening in Ukraine. We are not in a shooting war yet. But if the Biden administration has any hopes of averting that, they will get Kamala Harris the heck out of there. And we're going to play some audio from her. I don't know what's going on. She's suffering from Bidenitis. She can't talk. It's very disturbing, very strange. So we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Another big story that happened over the weekend involves the Ivy League swimming team and the Ivy League swimming and diving championships. The University of Pennsylvania going into the championship weekend, and this has been major news. I know ESPN, Fox Sports, they've been covering this. Barstool Sports, they've been covering Leah Thomas, who is the man who thinks he's a woman, and there have been some grave concerns that left unchallenged that Leah Thomas would go into the championships and pretty much sweep everything. And that's exactly what happened. It's pretty remarkable. And the sports departments around America are for the most part filled with woke journalists. So they're celebrating this as a great victory for fake womanhood. But here's what you need to know about what happened. Whenever you hear the name Leah Thomas, you need to understand something about this guy. When he was swimming as a man, so in other words, when he was swimming with the guys, he was ranked 462. Out of all the swimmers in America, he was ranked number 462. Now, I don't know how many swimmers there are in America. I guess that's pretty good if you're a guy. But when Leah Thomas, the man, decided, I'm going to stop swimming with the guys and I'm going to start swimming with the gals, he became the number one swimmer in America. That's all you need to know about this story. You know, they're going to say this is all about trans rights. No, this is about putting a woman in her place. And that's what this guy is doing. He is literally putting the woman in her place. And if you are a female swimmer, I feel bad for you if you are a biological female. Because you're pretty much hosed. I mean, there's no way for you to win if you're going up against a man like this. Grace Baker, you're a big basketball star.
Ooh, I don't know about a star, but I play.
And you're a fan. You're a fan.
Yeah, of course.
All right. And of course, the big, what is it happening this past weekend? You had the NBA star All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grizzlies were representing.
Oh, yeah, John Morant.
John Morant, he's like the hottest thing in basketball.
He really is.
So, I mean, he's doing a great job.
He's incredible.
And, you know, it's nice to have a good positive story about Memphis coming out.
Exactly.
You know, of the world of sports. So if you had, let's just say that Grace Baker, you and your girls team are going up against a team that had, let's just say LeBron James decides, you know what, I'm going to become a woman now.
Oh,
so
gosh.
You're going to have to call me LaBria. LaBria James. All right, just go with me here. This is not planned. This is not scripted. This is live radio. Well, let's say LaBria James is playing on the other team. Do you think that you would have a fighting chance against LaBria James?
No. No. Heck, the top WNBA player wouldn't have a chance against LaBria James.
Right. And by the way, nobody cares about the WNBA. Nobody cares.
You're not wrong.
No, seriously. I mean,
there's a few that are fun to watch, but I know.
I mean, they're demanding the same pay as the NBA. Okay, well, fine. That's going to bankrupt somebody.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Nobody cares. But if you put a man, if let's just say, and if I'm a coach, again, if I am a basketball coach, and I'm thinking as a, I want to win games, that's how I get paid. I want to win basketball games. You know what I'm doing? I'm going out to find every transgender basketball player I can find.
Isn't that the truth?
Because you're going to start winning basketball games.
Guaranteed.
Might even put a few people in the seats. You never know. But Grace, what does this say about this guy, Leah Thomas, going in and literally, I mean, he destroyed the records. We've got the video up on our website. This is unbelievable.
I think it's really jerkish of him, honestly, to like be like, you know what? Because he's clearly a mediocre. I say mediocre. He's not a all-star on the men's
team. He's not Michael Phelps.
No, he's not. And then to say, you know, I mean, clearly he just decided, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go over to the women's division and I'm just going to crush it because physically, he is stronger and faster than any woman out there. Even if, heck, even if I go against a guy who has trained half as much as me, there's a good chance that he's still going to be stronger than me. And that's just the way it is.
And the true victims here are the biological women
yes.
who are losing out on everything here.
Then, you know, as a woman, that just, what is even your motivation at that point to even go for that stuff, to even play sports? Because if you know you're just going to be facing these men and you're not going to have any chance, what's the point? Just do something else.
Now, I understand that the girls actually wrote a letter and everyone's terrified. They don't want to speak out because they don't want to become a target of this mob out there.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And they've seen what's happened when conservatives have spoken out against this and have called it for what it is. This is just an absurdity. I mean, it's really a parody, a satire.
Exactly.
And they don't want to say anything publicly, but privately they wrote a letter, and this letter says, "Hey, look, you know, this guy has we affirm this guy. If he wants to become a she, that's his business. But when it comes to our team," and this is the problem with their, it's a fallacy. What they're trying to do is they're trying to have it both ways, these girls. And you can't have it both ways. He's either a woman or he's not, period.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. And that's what these girls are trying to do, the teammates. And they say, we fully support Leah Thomas in her decision to affirm her gender identity and to transition from a man to a woman. Leah has every right to live her life authentically. That's what the letter reads. Then they go on to say, however, no, there's no however. If you truly believe that, then you have to accept that for what it is. You have to accept that truth.
That's true.
You can't have it both ways.
Exactly. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
That's it.
Do it.
By the way, delicious cake. One of our staff had a birthday party just before the show.
It was quite, I had a red velvet
delicious
cupcake.
But we digress. But going back to this, again, I feel sympathy for these girls. But they have been brainwashed and conditioned because we're talking about, 18, 19-year-old kids. They have been brainwashed in their schools to think that transgenderism is a thing, and it's
sure.
not a thing. So they're going to have – so if I were in charge here, if I was over at the NCAA, I would pull them in and say, okay, you can't have it both ways here. If you believe that Leah Thomas is now, in fact, a woman, then tough cookies. You know, you've got to accept that you're not as good as Leah Thomas.
True.
So anyway, it's a cold, hard truth here. But this is what gets me about even the conservatives that are going out there. They try to apologize. They try to accommodate the cancel culture mob. Don't do that. Stop it. Because you can't. You are in the right. The mob is in the wrong.
They'll never be satisfied.
That's right. Because they're going to get them on this letter. Well, wait a second. You say that so-and-so, Leah Thomas is a woman, so why do you object to her competing on your team? It doesn't matter that Leah Thomas is, what, 6'1"? What, 180, 200 pounds?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wears a size 13 shoe. And, you know, the average girl is, what, 5'8"? 5'9".
Especially swimmers. They're nice and lean and small, aerodynamic.
The guy jumps into the pool and there's like a tsunami. All the little girl swimmers like just start bouncing. Woo! It's like the wave pool.
Yes.
Down at SeaWorld.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
It's just sad to me more than anything.
So the girls go into this letter. We also recognize that when it comes to sports competition, the biology of sex is a separate issue from someone's gender identity. No, it is not, ladies. Wrong. Biologically, Leah holds an unfair advantage over competition in the women's category. Okay, well, let's just take that statement. If, in fact, that is true, if, in fact, you believe that to be true, then you've got another problem on your hands, because then the first part of your letter makes absolutely no sense. You are either born that way or you're not. Period. Biologically, Leah holds an unfair advantage over competition in the women's category, as evidenced by her rankings that have bounced from 462 as a male to number one as a female. So let me just stop right here. What does that say about women's swimming? It means that this guy, who is the 462nd best swimmer in America, is better than all the other female swimmers combined.
Yeah.
You can extrapolate that from whatever you want to. By the way, do you play golf, Grace Baker?
Do I play golf?
Have you ever played golf?
No.
Not the putt-putt. No,
oh.
Not putt-putt.
No.
But if you go to a golf course, there are the regular tees where you tee off, and then there are the ladies' tees where they tee off.
Sure.
And there's a reason for that. The reason is the men are stronger than the women. That is not sexist. That is not some sort of a slap against all you feminists out there. It's just basic biology. A lot of people want to deny biology these days. But to your point, Grace Baker, I'm with you. I think the broader issue here, it's not the physicality of it. It's the idea of sportsmanship. This guy, Leah Thompson, he knows what he's doing.
That's what I'm saying. I just find it incredibly cruel.
It is cruel.
I think.
And for him to go around and just really thumb it in their noses, and that's what he's doing. He's thumbing it. He's giving them the middle finger is what he's doing.
He is. I mean, even just separately, like, whatever. If you want to say you're a girl, whatever. But the fact that he knowingly is like, I'm going to go from the men's league to the women's league. No, I mean, he, like you said, he knows exactly what he's doing.
So here's what needs to happen. And honestly, this could have been resolved pretty quickly. The girls need to stop swimming. Just stop.
Yeah.
You're not going to win. You're never going to win.
That's what I was saying. Why, as a woman, would you even want to play competitive sports?
Quit the team.
This is going to happen, and you don't have a chance.
That's it. And until that happens, this is going to continue. It is going to continue. And it's also happening now on the high school and middle school level, where you've got parents that are now demanding their kids be allowed to participate in the sport that they identify with.
That's crazy.
This is where we are in America right now. You know, years ago, I warned people about this. I told them that the LGBT mob, they were hell-bent on literally tearing apart the genders. They want to have a genderless society. That's what this is all about. And that's why. And you think it's confusing now? You just wait a couple of more years. You just wait.
Better be taking some notes.
Unbelievable. All right, there you have it. So officially, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to keep score here, the best female swimmer in the Ivy League is, in fact, a man who thinks he is a woman. But biologically, ladies and gentlemen, that dude is still a dude. All right, got to take a break here. We'll open up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. We got a fun show for you. Monica Crowley coming up in just a little while. Also, some President's Day trivia. We're going to be throwing that out, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
For
Friends, last year, your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Tamara writes in on the Facebook page, Todd, Leah's body is more muscular now than it was when he was on the man's team. That's a fair point to make there. Great observation, Tamara. And folks will occasionally read out some of your comments over on the Facebook Live page. You can access that by going to toddstearns.com. All of our social media pages are there. You say, well, what about the new Truth Network that Trump launched? It's launched officially today. So they last week, we were talking to the Trump team, and they're like, hey, do you want a beta test? We're sure, no problem. Happy to do it. Set up the account for us. But I can't get into the account, and so we don't – I think we have an account, but I don't know. And I think they're having some issues. But the way it's working now, the way they've explained this, this is President Trump's new social media platform, and I'm looking forward to it if we could just actually get in and use it. We're now number, again, we were supposed to be beta testing, but now, Grace Baker, we're number 178,000 on the wait list.
No.
So I'm not sure what that, I don't know what that's all about.
I was just looking into it. It looks like they've had some technical issues since last night, so. Better get it together.
Just a few technical issues. Now, again, what I would have suggested is... And of course, they don't know, they don't need me for advice, but I would have suggested a soft rollout.
Yeah.
But now my understanding is they want you to download the app, and then they slowly over the next week or so they will allow people to come in and join the platform.
There's too many social medias. I'm sorry.
You think so? Yes. See, I'm beginning to wonder.
I'm on Twitter out of necessity, even though I don't like Twitter. I pretty much like Instagram. Because I just like looking at photos.
What about the...
Getter's fine.
Getter, yeah.
Getter's good.
Getter, we get a lot of engagement from Getter and Parler. Those are the two, but...
I feel like those are similar, though.
And so then there's Gab. And then there's like three or four others. Way too many.
I just can't. I can't keep up with all of it. And I don't want that many accounts.
And you know what I've noticed? People that are on these other accounts, they still go back to Twitter... to announce what they're doing on the other pages.
Which is sad, but it's like, you know, just whether we like it or not, Twitter is still such a massive place to, you know, get the word out about things most of the time if they don't censor you.
No doubt. I am wondering, you raise a good point, though, and I'm curious to know from our audience, Grace, I mean, how many people have just said, that's it, we're just done? I know a lot of people, at least the people I know at church, I know a lot of people, young and old, who have just said, you know, yeah, we're not doing social media anymore. We're done.
I think it is fading out. You know, we went through such a phase where it was everything, and it still is super popular. But I think that it's going to fade in the next decade. I think we're going to see it fade.
You know what surprised me, though? That not the fact that somehow we're now in some sort of a queue. It's at 178,000. So I would expect that number to be 5 or 6 million. I mean, when you look at, I mean, comparatively speaking.
Of course.
You know, that's not a very large number.
Well, again, when you have a million different apps, instead of just combining your efforts maybe to make one really good app, everyone's divided on these different apps.
I think they should have waited. I think there was an effort to launch on President's Day to make some sort of a statement. And clearly, whoever was developing this behind the scenes, this is not anything on President Trump. These are the developers. But whoever was developing this thing knew they were going to have issues. And they didn't want the thing to they didn't want it to crash, which is why they're limiting the numbers of people. But then to turn around and get a lot of us, you know, conservative leaders out there involved in this, and then not to, you know, it's just, it's a big mess.
It's frustrating.
It's a mess. Because we were happy, we were more than willing to say, hey, we're on truth, but the problem is it doesn't matter if we're on truth because nobody else is right now.
Exactly.
That's the problem. So, again, it's a little challenging for the president. I know President Trump has to be frustrated by all this, but there you go. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, live from the Liberty University studios. With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. This item just in, one of our astute listeners, Todd, breaking news, America's favorite dolphin flipper has now identified as a female human and is planning on enrolling at a Division I university, majoring in marine biology. This is nuts. This is great. Unconfirmed reports the swimmer, Mr. Leah Thomas, has had multiple panic attacks upon learning of the news. I guess that could be. I mean, what's to stop Flipper, you know, who had a great TV career back in the day? that's just nuts. There you go. You guys, Grace Maker, I always say that we have the smartest audience in all of talk radio. Very clever.
And the funniest, apparently.
Wow. Did you ever watch Flipper?
No.
It had a great theme song. We're going to ask Kyle. Kyle, go back into the memory banks, and let's try to find the Flipper theme song. That was back during a time, Grace Baker, when TV shows were known more for their theme songs than they really were for the show itself.
Interesting.
Like the Brady Bunch or All in the Family.
Gotcha.
The Andy Griffith Show. Oh, is this Flipper?
Smarter than he, and we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, lying there under the sea.
Oh, that's Flipper. Isn't that beautiful?
It's quite catchy.
Now, that's a theme song. They just don't do that. Many of our listeners know what I'm talking about here.
Now they just don't do theme songs.
No, it's just they just start the show.
I can think of some good theme songs like from the past, but yeah, currently, no, not really.
I would say the most recent modern day, like Hawaii 5-0 was an instrumental, But when you have the Hawaii Five-O theme song is probably one of my favorites. That and the Beverly Hillbillies.
I like the more modern-day
Friends.
New Girl.
Oh, New Girl.
New Girl's even newer than Friends. That's why I was thinking
Well,
of
I
that.
Thought Friends is pretty, I mean, that's
iconic.
A fine. Yeah, that's iconic. Did you ever go dancing in a fountain with your friends, though? Did you drag a couch out onto the street and go dancing with your friends?
I actually ran through the university fountain as like a rite of passage before you graduate. Does that count?
I guess it counts. We'll let that count. We'll let that count. But like the Brady Bunch. So you're
sure.
Telling the story in the song, and they like Cheers, for example. That's a great – that was one of the best. So I know it's going right over your – I know. Ted Danson, Coach.
Sorry.
You don't remember any of that, so – All right, it is what it is. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Wow, did we take a weird turn? Hey, we're going to throw out a trivia question, and we've got a number of President's Day trivia questions to share with you today. Here is the first. And by the way, they're all about the president. Imagine that. We want to know the name of the first president to live in the White House. The first president to live in the White House. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868, and you'll have a chance to win something out of the Todd Starnes Radio Show Prize Closet. By the way, folks, now more than ever, so important that we support companies that share our values, and that's why we're big fans of Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and they're doing something about it, too. They're donating a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. We're very excited. We're going to be hanging out with the Patriot Mobile team at CPAC later this week. If you switch to Patriot Mobile now, use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you free activation and a free gift, and they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. If you are a veteran, are you a first responder? Well, Patriot Mobile is going to give you an even bigger discount. Very simple. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right. Big story happening here in this country. Later this week, we understand the People's Convoy is going to be getting underway. And they're going to be emulating what the Canadians have been doing north of the border. This convoy, at least one part of the convoy, is going to be starting in California, making its way to the nation's capital in advance of the president's State of the Union address, which is set for March the 1st. Now, in response, we understand the Biden administration already has fences going up around the Capitol building. And I have no doubt that the truckers and the freedom fighters in this country who travel to Washington are going to face the same level of assault that they have been facing in Canada. Over the weekend, I never thought I would see something like that happen in Canada. I know they don't enjoy as much freedom as we enjoy here in this country, but I never thought I would see the police behaving like jackbooted thugs. As a matter of fact, the police on social media platforms were actually saying, we're going to start treating all of these people, we're going to start treating these protesters, and we're going to be kicking them with our jackboots.
So I was in the crowd yesterday. I was unfortunately hit with some pepper spray. I just have a question. There's some video cameras that the police are using, and some news outlets are reporting that you're gathering intelligence with those cameras. Can you elaborate, like, if the protesters at this point, retreat and go home, are they going to be getting sort of repercussions down the road? Or are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What are your plans after this, after the protest is over?
Thank you. It's a great question. And the simple answer is yes. If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges. Absolutely. This investigation will go on for months to come. It has many, many different streams, both from a federal financial level, from a provincial licensing level, from a criminal code level, from a municipal breach of court order, breach of court injunction level. It will be a complicated and time-consuming time-consuming investigation that will go on for a period of time. You have my commitment that that investigation will continue, and we will hold people accountable for taking our streets over.
There you go. And the police are not apologizing about this at all. Over the weekend, there were many protests, and folks, I have been watching just copious amounts of video, and as near as I can tell, all of these have been peaceful protests. We're talking about people that are having a good time. Nobody's been pillaging or plundering stores. No one's been doing any looting. No one's been burning down buildings. Nobody's been clashing with the police. It is the police who have been the aggressors. And that is a troubling thing. I mean, these police officers were dressed up in body armor as if they were going to war. And they were against these truckers. Now, we saw video of the police intentionally targeting conservative journalists and beating them with rods and poles. We saw the police officers intentionally targeting conservative journalists with the pepper spray. But even more alarming than all of that, there was a moment when you had a number of police officers, I counted maybe seven or eight, maybe more, on horseback, that literally plowed into a crowd of protesters and trampled a number of people, including an elderly woman using one of those walkers. And she was left sprawled in the street. And we have all of this, we have all of this video for you to see on our website, toddstarns.com. And now the police are out there saying, we're going to hunt you down. And if you are a supporter of the Freedom Convoy, we're going to come after you. We're going to shut down your bank accounts. We're going to go after your employer, and we're going to try to make your life as miserable as possible. That's what we are going to try to do. That's what the Canadians are doing. And you know what Joe Biden and his thugs are doing right now? They're watching. They're paying very close attention to what's happening north of the border. And you better believe that if we have thousands of truckers who inundate Washington, D.C., the exact same thing is going to happen. You mark my words on that. As a matter of fact, these people are already being portrayed as terrorists. They've done nothing but drive their vehicles into the capital of Canada and demand their rights under their constitution. And all of a sudden, they become some sort of not just criminals, but domestic terrorists. That's exactly what's going to happen here. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Bob, listening to us on WDUN, our great affiliate. Bob, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'm in favor of the truckers, but I think what they should do is just go home, keep your rigs at home, don't haul any freight in about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. I guarantee you the government will start coming around to their way of thinking.
And why do you say that, Bob?
Because of people not getting food and stuff like that and things that they need to function on, you know, they won't sit there and you know, have anything to go on. And the government has to sit there and give them their rights.
You know, it seems to me, Bob, what this country needs are more truckers and more farmers and fewer actors and lawyers.
Oh, I agree with you. It's getting crazy with all the things they're getting away with. I was reading a paper the other day where they sit there and people from the cities moving to the country and trying to sue farmers over the smell and noise of the people farming.
Bob, I'm laughing because you're absolutely right. I always hear, when I lived in New York City, they would say, they just assume everybody in the South lives on a farm and has, you know, chickens and pigs in the backyard. And they would always say, Todd, oh, what's it like to live out in the country and breathe that fresh country air? And I'm thinking, yeah, they haven't smelled country air around a pig farm.
That's so true. But I did come up with a good nickname for old Justin Trudeau. We need to call him Little Wee Wee.
Little Wee Wee. Bob, I like it. All right, thanks, Bob, for the call. Oh, my goodness. Little Wee Wee. So Justin Trudeau, the acting thespian. But it's true, and Bob has a great point. A lot of people are now moving out of these cities, and these are cities that those people destroyed by either voting for Democrats or not engaging in the political process, and then they want to move to another state and inflict on that state what they inflicted on the state they moved from. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. They have not learned their lessons. That's why I feel bad for you people in North Carolina, because you guys were inundated with all the Northerners moving in and ruining what was a beautiful state. By the way, same thing is happening in Texas, and you better wake up. There's a new poll out. Beto O'Rourke, the fake Mexican, Robert Francis O'Rourke, he is neck and neck now with Greg Abbott, the sitting Republican governor of Texas. And Abbott, by the way, is facing a fierce, fierce primary battle. The Republicans better wake up, and you folks better understand what's happening in your state. You're inviting all these people to come and move into your state. The problem is many of them are bringing their politics with them, and that is a big, big problem. And if you look, it's happening in Tennessee, where I'm from. In Nashville, all of these leftists are moving in because of the music industry, and they're relocating in Nashville. And Nashville, I would say, is actually more leftist than Memphis, Tennessee, which is a predominantly blue part of the state. And it's going to happen. Look, wherever you enjoy freedom, you are in jeopardy. And that's why I think we need to practice strong border security, even within our own states. All right, 844-747-8868. Grace Baker, this was a tough trivia. The lineup here is really tough.
Really? I don't know. We have a pretty smart audience.
Well, we do have a smart audience, but I'm just saying these are not easy questions.
Well, no, we got to make it a little challenging.
Okay, so here is that we want to know the name of the first president to live in the White House. The first president to live in the White House. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's softcover book free when you use the promo code STARNES. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNES. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNES, or go to MyPillow.com/STARNES and use the promo code STARNES.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is President's Day. They're creating a special President's Day for Joe Biden, though. It will be commemorated on April the 1st. April 1st, that is Joe Biden Day, in case any of you were wanting to mark the occasion. Hey, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Connie in Maine, listening to us on WLOB. Connie, how are things going? How is life in Maine?
It's great. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Connie, you are the first of our callers today, and we're going to give you a shot at winning a prize. We just need to know the answer to the following question. Who was the first president to live in the White House?
John Adams.
Yeah, you're correct. Congratulations. One of my favorite presidents, by the way. He was one of the good guys, a little overshadowed by George Washington, but one of our better presidents. Connie, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and Grace is going to get all your information. We're going to send you a copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. So there you go. All right. Folks, do not panic. We have plenty of other questions, and we're going to be dropping those questions throughout the rest of the program. A chance for you to win something on this President's Day. Interesting report out of Salon Magazine. They say all of you parents who refuse to vaccinate your children are committing child abuse. Breitbart covering the story. One's decision not to vaccinate is child abuse, according to a recent Salon piece, accusing conservatives of using children as pawns in their gross political games, viewing children as property, and damaging their mental and emotional health while tearing families apart. They also say that parents are refusing to get their children vaccinated to undermine President Biden. Amanda Marcotti is the author of this piece. The title, Vaccine Refusal is Child Abuse. Do you agree with this? I'm curious. We have a lot of moms and dads in the audience. When you were deciding whether or not to vaccinate your child, were you making a decision based on whether or not it would hurt President Biden politically? Marcotti writes, Republican media and politicians adopted an anti-vaccine message for one purpose, to sabotage Joe Biden's presidency by prolonging the pandemic. In this, they've been wildly successful. Well, clearly this woman is a moron, and it has nothing to do with her gender. It has everything to do with her brain and how her brain works. She's alleging that children are basically the carriers of the China virus vaccine. That's ludicrous. There's absolutely no scientific evidence, no scientific proof to back up that claim. The writer goes on to say the vast majority of China virus deaths are a result of vaccine refusal. Again, there's absolutely no proof of that. None whatsoever. So this is now a narrative that's coming out, not just from Salon, but from other places. And the whole point of this, they want to shame you into getting your child vaccinated. I don't think it's going to work. You may disagree, but I don't think this is going to work. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Folks, check it out. All sorts of great material for you there. Stick around. Hour two coming up next.
Hi, friends. Todd Starnes here, officially inviting you to join me and over 2 million other active AMAC members nationwide. We've made AMAC America's largest organization for conservative seniors. We really dodged a bullet in January, scoring victories that stopped the big spending Build Back Better scheme, and we saved the filibuster from liberal mischief that would have hurt our seniors. But many battles lie ahead. And it's more important than ever that you add your name to AMAC's membership roster. So I'm personally urging you to choose AMAC now. You not only get great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, but at the same time, your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/starnes today to start your discounts. That's amac.us/starnes to become an AMAC member like me. They need you, and America needs AMAC. Go to amac.us/darns today to start your discounts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's it. American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And happy President's Day to you, America. Good afternoon. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. We're doing pretty good here in the Liberty University studios. Go ahead and write down our toll-free telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. And you can also join us on social media over at ToddStarnes.com. Well over a 250,000 people already subscribed to our daily newsletter, and we would love for you to be a part of that. It's free of charge. Again, we don't charge a penny. This is the lifeline. Many of you are getting banned from social media. Many of you are just social media'd out. And we want to provide you with important stories about the culture and about politics that you're not going to find anywhere else. So we would encourage you to go to our website and download our free podcast. So last week on this program, I was sharing with you a bizarre story about a member of parliament in Finland who could face jail time simply for sharing Bible verses and other materials that run contrary to the government's position on marriage and sexuality. There is a terrific piece written by our good friend Joy Pullman that outlines how a trial in Finland could have worldwide effects on government persecution of religion. Joy is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Joy, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Joy, you you raise a pretty interesting point here, and I want you to explain to our listeners how this trial in Finland could have an impact on religion all over the country and really the world.
Well, you did a really great explanation of the fact that this member of parliament in Finland is being brought up for hate crimes. Finland has hate crimes law. In fact, so do most European countries and many U.S. states and cities, and Democrats in the United States want to basically make the same kind of legislation law nationwide with the Equality Act. So this is not just an isolated case here. And when I talked with lawyers in the case as part of my coverage of it, they are saying they're expecting this to go to the Finnish Supreme Court, where Päivi Räsänen, she's the member of parliament there, as well as her bishop, who's been kind of roped into this trial along with her for publishing a Christian pamphlet about marriage. At the Supreme Court, if they lose their case there, they could be sent to the European Court of Human Rights, which would create a precedent for these kinds of laws all over the world to be used to silence people of faith and silence people who, you know, just disagree and have disagreements about social issues and what is the best thing for a country. So this is not an isolated case. It's something that really is of great import to all people over the world, including us here in the United States.
And I think it's important, and you do a good job of pointing this out in your essay here. This is, we're not talking about some sort of a fringe religious group. We're talking about Lutherans.
Well, in fact, the Lutheran Church is the state church in Finland. They still have a state church there. The kind of Christian body that denomination is in fellowship with millions of Christians all around the world that share, you know, have agreed they share the same theology. And the theology that Päivi and the bishop expressed in that booklet that got them up before the Court for Hate Crimes is classic Orthodox Christian theology shared by basically all of the denominations of Christians, as well as Jews and Muslims. You know, so we're talking about the Orthodox faith of billions of people across the globe is being essentially put on trial here. This is not a small matter, and it's not a fringe or minority view, but it's being treated as, hate speech in Finland under their identity politics laws like those we do have in the United States.
And I know there are so many dumpster fires burning in the Biden administration right now that it's easy to forget that one of the early issues was, in fact, the Equality Act. This was something that mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton campaigned on, and thank goodness she lost. Otherwise, we could be seeing this happen in our country right now.
Right, and it's not just Democrats. We have a lot of weak Republicans, so we have obviously a 50-50 Senate right now, and a number of Republican senators are weak on this issue. They do not see the human rights and the free speech implications, as well as the likelihood of amping up government discrimination by institutionalizing these kind of laws nationwide with the Equality Act. So this, you know, you're right, this is right on the cusp of very easily, you know, depending on who's in charge of the House and Senate, and we're not even safe if we have some kinds of Republicans in charge. So this is a very critical issue that is very much, again, live, pressing for people all over the world who care about the ability to speak freely and have public debate on issues that matter. So that's the only way we really can have a democracy. You have to be able to say what you think and be able to argue for it in the public square.
And Joy, that's a valid point you raise. And I'm not sure the average moral majority, Christian member of the Republican Party from back in the day understands how left the party has moved quietly on issues like marriage. I mean, and I see this a lot. I speak at a lot of the conferences, and I think a lot of Republicans have moved on from this particular issue. And quite frankly, Donald Trump, an argument could be made, he was the most pro-LGBT president we have had in modern American history.
Well, you know, I thought Donald Trump actually straddled the line really well of having no problem hiring gay people for various positions, but also being very firm on religious liberty and right. not moving an inch on making sure that people who, you know, disagree with having, you know, a transgenderism taught to their kindergartners in schools, you know, having girls in dressing room with boys, you know, I think, you know, in a civil society, we can absolutely discuss where the line would be where, you know, I have, you know, homosexual family members and friends, I colleagues, you know, so we don't have a problem, you know, in the United States writ large of people being able to work with people across all these differences of opinion about, you know, our private behavior. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about these laws. We're talking about government repression of religious views that are centuries old, held by billions of people across the globe at the behest of a very small minority. And so there's a lot of gay, transgender, and other people who don't believe that their cause rights of all Americans in the country and all people in the world.
No, well said. And again, on this program, it's America. How you live your life, that's between you and your maker, and that's what's great about this country. But the idea of forcing people to reject their religious beliefs, that's where we draw the line. And that's where I think you are right to alert people about what's happening over in Finland right now. And Joy, I raised this issue about 3 books ago, and people laughed when I raised this issue. But it seems to me sooner or later, somebody is going to raise the point that the people are getting these so-called hateful opinions from one particular book. And you do wonder, at what point will somebody finally determine, hey, you know what, we're going to have to outlaw the Bible, or at least rewrite portions of the Bible so, you know, they're not hateful towards a certain people group.
Just like they're doing in communist China, right, where the only official version of the Bible allowed is one that's been edited to be favorable to the Communist Party. I mean, you are not kidding, Todd. What is exactly happening in Finland, and I had this from eyewitness people who were there for the trial, the prosecutor in Finland, the top prosecutor there, is arguing, you know, and she's a member of this progressive establishment. You know, she's not out of the norm on this. She's arguing that people can only be allowed to believe the Bible in their hearts, but not talk about it, publish it, you know, publish Bible verses in public. So, you know, the pastor's legal defense or the bishop's legal defense in this case made the argument that if this case, you know, goes down against in Finland against Christians, then pastor basically preaching the gospel, being a Christian, being a pastor in Finland would be effectively outlawed. So that's where these sorts of hate crimes laws are going. That's where the legal culture is and the culture of the people interpreting these laws. So people need to, you know, make sure that they're aware that this is not about tolerance. This is about absolutely government legalized intolerance and discrimination against, you know, people of faith.
It's a great point you're making. And Joy, I'm so glad you wrote this this column. Folks, you can read it on The Federalist. Joy Pullman, executive editor of The Federalist. We have a direct link to the column on our live show blog. Joy, you always come loaded for bear, and you did not disappoint today. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Joy Pullman, and I have followed her work for years, just a terrific writer, and she's able to get to the heart of the issue. And folks, years ago, people mocked me, even at Fox News, when I suggested that one day we're going to come to a point where the only approved Bible will either be a government-approved Bible or no Bible at all. They laughed, and they said, that's impossible. There's no way that could happen. But it's very possible, folks, and that's what this case over in Finland is proving, and that's why we've got to pay very close attention. Had Hillary Clinton, had the woke evangelicals, the David Frenches of the world, and the Russell Moores of the world, had they gotten their wish, had Donald Trump been defeated at the ballot box, do you realize the Equality Act would be the law of the land right now, and there would be an overwhelming majority of leftists on the Supreme Court? Do you understand how important the election of Donald Trump was? This says it all. If Hillary Clinton would have been elected president, we would be in the same position that Finland is in right now. All right, look, we've got to take a break here and pay some bills. Before we do that, we're going to toss out another trivia question. President's Day, and we're feeling mighty generous here in the Liberty University studios. Here we go. Only 2 U.S. presidents signed the Declaration of Independence. Who were those 2 people? Only 2 U.S. presidents signed the Declaration of Independence. Who were those presidents? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is a good question. Well done. Well done, Grace Baker. All right, folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
All right, folks, good to have you back with us today. We are still not at war just yet, but we are getting some developments out of Ukraine. And again, at this point, you don't know who to believe, but there have been apparently some shots fired, not many. We'll keep you updated on that and whatever developments there are. Meanwhile, President Biden, he has come to the determination that the best hope for America to avert war with Russia is none other than the Vice President of these great United States, Kamala Harris. Cut number four, please.
Can you explain to Americans what exactly will they face if this happens?
Sure. As the President talked about in his speech, we are aware that, again, when America stands for her principles and all of the things that we hold dear, it requires sometimes for us to put ourselves out there in a way that maybe we will incur some cost. And in this situation, that may relate to energy costs, for example. But we are taking very specific and appropriate, I believe, steps to mitigate what that cost might be if it happens.
What in the world kind of an answer is that? So you know, Putin is just sitting back laughing his head off. Look at these morons. And then anybody who dares raise the question, I've gotten a lot of this over on the social media platforms, anybody who dares point out that Joe Biden seems more interested in protecting Ukraine's border than our own border, well, all of a sudden I become some sort of a Russian agent, which I am not, by the way. Not a big fan of borscht. But I can tell you that it's rather obvious to me that Joe Biden cares more about securing Ukraine's border than he cares about securing our border, period. As a matter of fact, we've already had a million-man army invade our nation. And it could be 11 or 12 million, depending on who's counting the number of illegal aliens that have been able to cross our border. In the first month, over 100 and some odd thousand illegals invading our country. No one seems to be terribly concerned about that. And when I look at what's happening on our southern border, I see that as an act of war. I see that as an act of aggression. When you come into somebody's country without that country's permission, that's when you fight a war. And I don't know why we have a hard time getting that through the heads of our lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, Democrat and Republican. All right, let's go to the phones here. Again, we are playing trivia on this President's Day. Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Carmen is listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Carmen, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Carmen. All right, here's the question. Only two U.S. presidents signed the Declaration of Independence. Who are those two individuals?
Jefferson and Adams.
Yeah, you're right. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, the only two presidents to sign the Declaration of Independence. Congratulations, Carmen.
Yay.
I love that. We need that kind of excitement around here, folks. All right, Carmen, we're going to put you on hold, and Grace Baker is going to get all of your particulars. We're going to get you a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And fear not, folks, we have lots more where that came from. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, Tulsi Gabbard, she is the Democrat. She was running for president. She has been disowned by her own political party. And word came out just a little while ago from our good buddy Matt Schlapp that Tulsi Gabbard is going to be speaking at CPAC, which is a very large gathering, and it really is the most prominent gathering of conservatives in America. And a lot of people are getting a little riled up, and they say that Tulsi Gabbard should not have been extended an invitation to speak at CPAC. And some of the argument is coming from conservatives. They say, well, she's not conservative enough. Now, okay, well, what is conservative and what is not conservative? I mean, seriously, where do you draw the line? Is there some sort of a litmus test to be able to speak at CPAC? Here's my take on it. I don't mind. I don't mind that Tulsi Gabbard was invited. First of all, I'm not paying the bills. I'm not organizing the conference. So what do I care? I know I've been invited to speak, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to be moderating. In addition to speaking, I'll be moderating a panel with Congressman Matt Gaetz and Sebastian Gorka, and a doctor whose name I just forgot, Grace Baker. We'll make up for that later. I think it's Dr. McDonald, Peter McDonald. So anyway, it's going to be a great panel on the China virus and taking out Fauci. I love it. No, just saying that he's got to go. I could have framed that a little bit better. So anyway, what do I care? I will say this. I don't have a problem here. And you know why I don't have a problem? I don't mind hearing other people's views on things. I really don't. And because I know at the end of the day that my argument is going to beat that other person's argument. Period. That's why conservatism always wins the day. Because our arguments make sense. David Marcus writing, he's one of the blue checkmark people over on Twitter. He's a columnist. He says, what Tulsi Gabbard going to CPAC shows is just how huge the conservative tent can become. Meanwhile, Democrats require proof of pronouns, privilege, and vaccination for entry. And the guy raises a pretty good point. I mean, these days to be a Democrat, you've got to have a check mark on everything. As a matter of fact, if you don't support Biden, you're not even black in the Democrat Party. So my question is, do you have a problem with Tulsi Gabbard going to speak at CPAC? Is that a big deal for you? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. I say we're going to need everybody, all hands on deck, to defeat these communists. That's what I say. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll be right back. People, welcome back. Good to have you with us on this President's Day. Great day here at the Liberty University studios. Hope it's great wherever you are today. I hear it's very nice in Ukraine, where the president says, hey, nothing going on around here. But everybody else seems to think something's happening out there. I don't know, folks. We'll see how all this plays out. But I just want to throw an idea out, a thought, if you will. It seems to me when you step back and just listen. It seems to me the only people talking about war, not the Ukrainians, not the Russians, it's the Biden administration. A lot of folks are wondering, well, what's really going on here? Is it possible, just possible, that one of the reasons why Biden is so hell-bent on going to war with Russia is to take the attention off of his incredibly sickening poll numbers? I mean, the whole administration's a dumpster fire. And what better way to unite the nation than to go to war. I mean, it's been proven time and time again. So just a thought here, as, again, we're on the verge of what could be a very dangerous situation unfolding across Europe. But so far, as far as we know, the invasion has not occurred. It was supposed to happen last week, according to the Biden administration. But so far, it has not. Jake Sullivan on a Today show, and he's terrified. He says that they could be invading at any minute now. Just, again, folks, just let's be patient and see how this works out. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Mike in Maine, WLOB, wants to weigh in on Tulsi Gabbard. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good.
Listen, if anybody's got a right to speak about what's going on in our country, it's Tulsi Gabbard. She's a decorated combat vet, number one. And number two, like you said, if we're going to expand the tent, you need to listen to other people. And I was telling Grace, you know, when I was on hold, it is kind of ironic. It's President's Day. Do you know John Kennedy could not belong to the Democratic Party today? He would be a conservative today if he was alive.
Mike, isn't that true? I would even go so far as to say even Jimmy Carter would not be allowed. He held some screwy positions, but he was really conservative in a lot of those culture war issues back in the day.
Yeah, and I think we could use to hear what she's got to say. You know, her generation, it's time we move down a little bit, with even in the conservative party. You know, these people are in their late 70s. Okay, most of the people, McConnell's, you name it. Time we got some youth into the party and heard what the hell they had to say.
Mike, I'm with you on that, and I have nothing against old age. You know, I just turned 54, so, you know, I'm heading in that direction. But to your point, there comes a time when you have to be willing to hand over the reins of leadership. And we've got the same problem the Democrats do. They don't want to give up their power. More importantly, they don't want to give up those paychecks they're getting from big tech and from China.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dad, I'll let you go.
Mike, God bless. All right. Again, Tulsi Gabbard, and Mike is right. She is a decorated combat veteran. And came from a very conservative family. As a matter of fact, one of the big strikes against her, she helped her parents fight against gay marriage back in Hawaii, and she's since changed her views on that issue. But that wasn't good enough. They wanted to punish her simply because she helped her mom and dad out as a teenage kid. That's one way of thinking with the Democrats. And if you do not agree with them, lock, stock, and barrel, you're gone. You're out of there. All right, let's go to Charles, North Carolina, WSIC. Charles, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. How are things?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Great. Hey, Todd, on this President's Day, I wanted to just kind of weigh in on what you were commenting about right before the break about the Finnish member of parliament being persecuted for religious beliefs. You know, I think we can all agree that we are in the battle of our lives right now with these culture wars and morality. And, you know, when you try to discuss it, a lot of politicians and people will say, well, you know, you can't, we got to have separation of church and state, you know? And I don't know if you have had a chance yet to look at, watch Pete Hegseth's special on Fox Nation, The Miseducation of America. But I just wanted to kind of make the listeners aware of that, of really what happened as far as separation of church and state. The separation of church and state has to do with a letter that the Danbury bishops wrote to Thomas Jefferson, that they were worried that their religious liberties were going to be trampled on upon by the government. And Jefferson wrote back, and he said, no, that will never happen. There has to be a wall, a separation between church and state. So that is what that means. But something else, Todd, a lot of people probably, I know they've heard of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, but a lot of people are probably not familiar with something, what's called the Northwest Ordinance. And that was one of our four organic documents, along with the previous two I just mentioned, and the the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. But during that document, which was written in 1787, Todd, and that was the same Congress, 1787, it was the Continental Congress under the Articles of Confederation. But the Northwest Ordinance stipulated it provided a pathway for states to join the Union in territories northwest of the Ohio River. And that document banned slavery. It also established a Bill of Rights, property rights, and it was written by Thomas Jefferson along with a couple of others. Well, a couple of months later, when the Constitution was ratified by the same Congress, one of the things that was in that Northwest Ordinance is Article 3. And Article 3 specifically states, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says religion and being necessary to good government and morality, public schools and the happiness of mankind shall forever be encouraged. And the reason I'm saying that is the same Congress that passed that also was the same Congress that passed the Constitution and the First Amendment. So while I think our founders meant for us to not have a separation of church and state, as far as not a church of the United States like a church of England, they were not for separation of God and state.
Well, no, and Charles, let me jump in here.
Okay.
The whole point of that was so that people would not be persecuted for their religious beliefs. That's why the country was founded. That's why the pilgrims came here in the first place. So this idea that there is a so-called separation of church and state, it's nowhere in our founding documents. Nowhere. It's made up, and unfortunately, you've had a lot of Republicans, and I hate to say this about the Republicans, but they do a lousy job of putting people on the Supreme Court. By and large, they've had some great choices. But when you look at the numbers, they haven't been good. And a lot of those justices, I wrote a book about this a couple of years back, Charles. A lot of those Supreme Court justices put on the bench by Republicans were the deciding factors, get this, in every single culture war case going back to prayer in school. Every single one.
Right. No, you're correct. And, you know, the Democrats seem to appoint justices that will be consistent with their political views. But, you know, but this Northwest Ordinance and that Article 3, Todd, I just think that I'm just surprised that no judge, why the Supreme Court hasn't said, you know, taken that and you look at what the original intent meant and the Congress that passed it and say, you know what, there needs to be prayer at schools if states want it and school systems want it.
So let me ask you a question about that, Charles. Let me ask you a question about that. So let's just say, for the sake of the argument, that prayer in school is allowed. Who gets to pray? If I'm a Christian, I'm not sure I would want another denomination's prayer, you know, forcing my kid to listen to another denomination's prayer.
Well, Todd, I'll tell you, I can answer that question. So when you look about religion and morality in written by that Congress in 1787, clearly the religion and morality that they're referencing is the Judeo-Christian religion. Every one of those men that signed that document were either grew up in the Church of England or some other, you know, type of worship. But clearly the America is a Christian nation. Our founding fathers were a religious people, and they wanted their countrymen to be influenced by the Judeo-Christian Bible. And I think that's what needs to be promoted in public schools, as well as private schools. And Republicans need not shy away from that. I think given the damage that's been done.
Charles, not only are Republicans shying away from that, many Christians are. I truly believe, like you, I believe that we are meant to be a Christian nation. And going back to our great second president, John Adams, who said, our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. He wasn't talking about the Hindus or the Buddhists. He was talking about the Christians. That's who he was talking about.
That's exactly right. And, Todd, when you look at these radical Islamists, their religious views are totally incompatible with our Constitution.
No doubt about it. Charles, got to run. Great call, though. Great thoughts.
Thanks.
All right. Good stuff. And you see, you learned something here, not just from our scheduled guests, but from our great callers. All right. We got to take a break here. As we go to break, Grace, I'm tempted to go with this. I might call an audible here. Grace Baker, you gave me something on the guest list that
I wondered if you might. I planted a little Easter egg for you.
George Washington once owned a dog. This is a great
multiple
question.
Multiple dogs.
Well, he did. All right, that's not what you wrote. He owned a specific dog.
Yes, that he's known for. Yes.
All right. The dog's name was Madam Moose.
Correct.
All right. Okay. All right. What kind of a dog was Madam Moose?
This is widely known.
We've given so many Easter eggs on this question about why Grace would even be remotely interested in this question. But George Washington had a dog named Madam Moose. What kind of a dog was Madam Moose? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Still waiting for a correct answer on the trivia question we just threw out on this President's Day. George Washington, a lover of dogs, had one named Madam Moose, and we paid 12 shillings for the dog, Madam Moose. What kind of a dog was Madam Moose? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Interesting story from Joy Reid over at MSDNC. That is just a horrible, horrible place, folks. They really do hate America, but I think they may hate white people even more than they hate America. Cut number three.
This country hates us. This country hates black people, and we know it. We talk about it. We joke about it. We know what we're up against. But sometimes that hatred that this country has for us really comes out and just takes your breath away, just grabs you by the neck and just takes your breath away. And today, Judge Regina Chu was that hatred, that icy hatred around our throat. She was the spit in our face today. To have the unmitigated gall to stand up there, sit up there in her courtroom and plead, cry out for sympathy for the killer in front of that boy's mother. I don't have words to describe how offensive that is, how hurtful that is, how unjust that is, almost goes without saying. People are like, oh, she made a mistake. The potter made a mistake. Yeah, we have a sentencing guideline for this kind of mistake. It's called 6 to 8 years. Why did she get 2 years? Somebody needs to answer me why she got 2 years. And of course, we all know why she got 2 years.
Yeah.
Because she was crying white. That's why she got 2 years and not the 6 to 8 years that her crime cried out for. You know, Judge Chu wants us to look at things through Potter's eyes. I say no. I will look at things through Dante's Wright's eyes. And I can imagine the last thing Dante Wright saw. For my end, I've been in a situation where that might have been the last thing that I saw. So those are the eyes that I will remember. And I would encourage others to remember. And I would encourage others to reject Judge Chu and instead think about Dante Wright.
All right. Very upset over the sentencing of Kim Potter, the Minneapolis Brooklyn Center police officer who used her gun instead of a taser when taking out a convicted and career criminal. The fact is, folks, that if you were to go out on the street, I would say that by and large, if you asked black Americans, are you happier, more prosperous here, or, say, in another country? By and large, this country has seen the greatest success of the black community in every country on the face of the earth, here in America. And especially when you look at how far this country has come since the days of slavery, where I would say you have the largest concentration of millionaires and multimillionaires among blacks than any other place in the world. That's why people are coming here to this country instead of someplace else. All right, let's go to the phones here. We've got a trivia question on the table. What kind of a dog was the moose? What was it? Madame Moose. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. James, WSIC. James, what's the answer?
I'm going to say Foxhound.
Oh, no. Sorry. Good guess, though. Let's go to Chuck in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Chuck, what kind of a dog was Madame Moose?
I would have to say, if Grace Baker brought it up, it would have to be a Dalmatian.
Yeah, that's that was kind of a gimme right there. Yes, the Madame Moose was one of his favorite dogs, apparently, and it was, in fact, a Dalmatian. So there you go. Chuck, congratulations. Hope you're enjoying the programming on KWAM.
And thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Will do, and we're going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere, Chuck. Grace is going to get your info. Hey, folks, coming up, more President's Day trivia, a chance for you to win a copy of my brand-new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Better yet, why don't you go onto Amazon, wherever you get your books, and buy yourself a copy or two. They make terrific gifts, and we would love for you guys to help us out as we try to hit that New York Times bestseller list. It's going to be a good day when we can see the words Our Daily Biscuit on the New York Times bestseller list, and you guys can be a big part of that. All right, coming up, Monica Crowley is going to be here weighing in on the latest. We do have some developments out of Ukraine. Looks like the Russians are getting ready to make their move, and we're going to explain how that is about to go down here in just a few moments. Also, ToddStarnes.com is your place to sign up for our free newsletter and free podcast. Well, over 300,000 people now downloading our podcast and newsletter, and we just appreciate all you guys. All right, folks, stick around. Hour three coming up from the Liberty University Studios.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to it. Hello, happy President's Day, America. Great to have you with us here in our Liberty University studios. By the way, we're getting ready to add a couple of new affiliates to our growing radio family, so we'll tell you more about that later this week, but always exciting when we add new listeners to the program. Hey, you're going to need this number if you plan on calling in today, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. You can also reach out to us on our social media platforms. All of that info is over at ToddStarnes.com. So a couple of developments regarding the truckers and the Freedom Convoy. We are getting word that an American version of the convoy is about to commence, and the plan is to shut down the beltway around Washington, D.C. And we're hearing that truckers all over America are going to be participating in this effort. We do know of one group called the People's Convoy. They've got a big Facebook group, but we're still compiling all the info. The bigger story, though, coming out of Canada, is that Justin Trudeau, the former practicing thespian, now prime minister, says that he is going to keep the emergency orders in place. And these emergency orders, in effect, crack down on civil liberties across that nation. And we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Monica Crowley joins us. Monica, hope you're doing well today.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you.
And I know that you have been following these developments over the weekend. Some of the images I saw, police officers trampling people on horseback. Monica, these were peaceful protesters that they were going after.
Yes, and I sent out a tweet over the weekend, you know, actually I sent out a series of tweets, but my main message is that this is a stress test for the system. And by the system, I mean the Western regimes that have agreed to the Great Reset, which comes out of the World Economic Forum. So the Western regimes that have agreed to reset all of our social, economic, political, cultural lives include the Canadian regime under Justin Trudeau, who is a member of the World Economic Forum and a very prominent leader there, the Biden administration, and there are a number of other Western regimes. So what you're seeing in Canada is a stress test for the system, for the Great Reset. And as I tweeted last night, the Great Resetters didn't particularly expect it to be easy, this fundamental transformation of the West, away from individual liberty, away from free market capitalism, and toward a more socialist, collectivist, authoritarian kind of model. They didn't think it would be easy necessarily, although COVID made it easier for them. But they did not expect the kind of fierce resistance that they're seeing, primarily from truckers, which they never anticipated, and Canada, which is like the most mild of all of the countries involved in this. So they didn't expect it. They're recalculating now, but they still keep their eye on the prize. That's why what you just reported about the U.S. convoy is going to be so important, because Trudeau went in with his henchmen and used violence, horses and so on, trampling people, to try to clear the rigs out of the way. When the U.S. now is going to get involved, it's going to add another whole dimension to it, and it's going to keep the momentum of the freedom resistance, of which we are all a part, going.
Speaking of that, the fencing is already going up around the U.S. Capitol again, and their reasoning is, well, they're concerned about the Freedom Convoy and Biden's State of the Union address. They're going to try and portray all of these good, peaceful, law-abiding truckers as a bunch of domestic terrorists, which is exactly what they did in Canada.
Yes, and you know that the Department of Homeland Security, our own government, has now termed people like you and me, who are freedom lovers and resistant to all of these authoritarian changes, technically as domestic terrorists. So they're putting up the wire and they're putting up the fencing like they kept it for so long after January 6th. And it's all meant to send a signal to you and me that that freedom and advocacy for freedom is not going to be tolerated and will be punished. I mean, we're no longer living in a free society where you can't say and do what you'd like as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. And the restrictions on free speech are really, really beyond anything that we could have imagined. So, yeah, they're putting physical wire up. They're probably going to keep it there for a while. They say that they're worried about the convoy. They're not worried about the convoy. You know, the folks up in Canada who were protesting, incredibly peaceful. It only got violent when the cops showed up, only carrying out orders, of course. And remember the Tea Party, I mean, these are all extensions of the same movement. At the Tea Parties, and I attended many of them, I'm sure you did, we picked up all of our garbage.
Sure, that's right.
Right? This is not Black Lives Matter. This is not Antifa, where we're smashing things. We are peace-loving, freedom-loving people who cannot stand what is happening to our nation.
This reminded me of, back when I was a reporter at Fox News Channel, I was dispatched to cover the first Obama inauguration, and they had us at some location in the middle of the mall, and we were up on these risers. And Monica, I kid you not, we waded through trash, almost knee deep in some areas of the Washington Mall. Never seen anything like it.
Oh yeah, but we're the bad guys.
Yeah, we're
the
bad.
Our own trash. We don't engage in violence. We do not destroy property. We're just out there talking about what was guaranteed to us, number one, by the Constitution, and number two, by God, our God-given right to freedom and liberty. And we're the bad guys. Do you see how the entire world is upside down? Do you see how this is a spiritual war, in addition to being a political, cultural, and economic one? We are really up against it here. And, you know, I just had the History Channel on. They've got World War II and the lead up to World War II, and I'm watching it all over again. And it's happening again in a different form right before our eyes.
Monica Crowley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Monica, turning our attention to foreign policy, Vladimir Putin has been delivering a speech that should be wrapped up by about now, where he laid out this argument that actually Ukraine was created by the Soviet Union. And it's this, if I'm reading this wrong, I think Putin wants all of that territory back.
Well, of course he does. And you got to understand Vladimir Putin, and you've got to understand Soviet and Russian history. So Putin, a couple of things define Vladimir Putin. One is he and his family's survival of World War II, which essentially killed about 25 million Russians. So the Russians really took it on the chin in World War II. So he and his family survived that, but that was a searing moment for him. The other thing is that he's a KGB operative. That's how he came up during the Cold War. He is on the record saying, Todd, that the greatest political, geopolitical catastrophe of the century was the collapse of the Soviet Union. Not World War II that killed 25 million Russians, the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's what he really believes. And he knows very well Vladimir Lenin's famous comment about Ukraine. He said, if we lose Ukraine, we will lose our heads because Ukraine is the breadbasket of the Soviet Union, meaning agricultural wealth, a lot of grain, a lot of fertile ground, and a lot of resources. So Putin obviously knows all of this. He would love to have that territory back, not to recreate the Soviet Union, but to recreate Mother Russia. That's what he wants. If he can't do it via a physical invasion, which is still possible, he'd like to do it by installing a puppet in Kiev, someone he can easily control, and therefore by default he will have that territory.
And the question now in front of the American people, what do we do about it, and how involved should we be in all of this?
Well, you know, it is a problem for the Europeans. That being said, the Europeans are completely craven and cowardly. So they're not acting at all. There are some things that we can do in terms of sanctions. Now, President Trump, for all of the criticism he got with all the fake smears and lies about him that he was a Russian asset, Trump and his administration leveled extraordinary sanctions against Putin and the Russian regime. So there's not a lot of firepower left because we used a lot of it in the previous administration. But you could slap sanctions on today on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and cripple his ability to extort Europe with energy resources. You could do that today. The Biden administration won't do that. You could sanction the SWIFT, which is the international banking system. You could level sanctions there as well. Biden administration not doing that. They're saying, well, we're holding that in unless and until he goes in. Well, the whole point of sanctions is to try to modify behavior and deter someone from acting in a negative way. So you do the sanctions now. You don't go. Everything with this administration is backwards, like the withdrawal from Afghanistan, right? Taking the military out first. So our civilians are sitting there going, so I guess my country has abandoned me. It is all backwards. They put the cart before the horse constantly. And so you got to ask yourself, this has got to be intentional.
And Monica, going back to the sanctions, that's something Senator Ted Cruz tried to do in January, and he was shot down by the Democrats. So there was an effort, and you're right, I just don't get it. Everything, like you said, is bass ackwards, as they say.
Indeed.
All right, Monica, always great stuff. And by the way, they need to give you a co-host slot on Fox News. I mean, you do a great job there with Bartiromo.
Oh, thank you so much. I was on this morning. Maria was out, but I was on with my friend Dagan McDowell, and the two of us really carried 3 hours. She did a phenomenal job hosting, and I was so happy to be there. We talked about all the things you and I just talked about right now. So
love
thank
it.
You.
And Dagan's
and
got
I'm
a better...
Gonna,
go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm going to be at CPAC speaking on the main stage on Saturday morning. So if y'all are headed to CPAC, I will be there, and please come say hi.
We will do that. As a matter of fact, Monica, I'm bringing the whole team, so we're doing the show down there. I'll be speaking Saturday afternoon there on the main stage, so you'll have to set them up for us. I'm glad I'm coming after, you know, that's a tough time slot, anytime coming after Monica Crowley.
Well, you're very kind, Todd. Thank you. But I look forward to seeing you there.
It's going
to
be fun. All right. Monica Crowley, ladies and gentlemen, you can see her and Grace Baker and Kyle, the whole team, down at CPAC in just a couple of days. By the way, Dagan McDowell had the best Southern accent, I think, of anybody on Fox News. And I always thought it was an Alabama accent, but she's actually from Brookneal, Virginia. So you folks in Virginia, you've got the accent going on. All right, got to take a break here. Throwing out another trivia question on this President's Day. President's Day was created. You know what I'm not going to do? We're going to save that one. This is a better one. Name one of the unusual pets that Teddy Roosevelt owned in the White House. Theodore Roosevelt was known. He had all these kids. It was just a rambunctious crowd there in the White House during his administration. Name one of the weird pets that Teddy Roosevelt once owned. Dogs, cats, horses, birds, rats, and guinea pigs. Those are off the table. This is a weird animal. If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know, people always ask me, Todd, who can I trust in the media? Well, you can trust us, but you can also trust our good friends over at Newsmax. By the way, Americans, they did a survey. According to this recent survey, most Americans do not trust big media. 65% of Republicans don't trust big media at all. And that's why I am so glad to use Newsmax. I go to Newsmax.com for my breaking news headlines online. I watch Newsmax TV all the time, and I even watch it on my smartphone. You can do that by downloading the Newsmax app. It's absolutely free. Nielsen, by the way, reported almost 7 million cable viewers watch Newsmax, but not Fox News. Folks, that's huge. That means a lot of people are making the switch to Newsmax, and I want to encourage you to do the same thing. By the way, you're going to be able to watch Wake Up America with Rob Finnerty. Also in the evening time, Eric Bolling, Chris Salcedo, Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly. The list goes on and on, not to mention their terrific weekend shows with Mike Huckabee and Diamond and Silk. 20 million Americans made the switch and watch Newsmax all the time, and you should too. All right, let's get to the phones here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on the trivia question. Let's go to Georgia. Alan is listening to us on WDUN, which is, apparently is Trivia USA. You guys must do a lot of trivia there in Georgia, Alan.
Well, yeah, a little, I guess.
I mean, if we were doing and this is sort of an unofficial, unscientific survey, but Grace, I think most of our trivia people come from Gainesville, Georgia.
Yes, I would say that's true.
I would, too. All right, Alan. Well, yeah, go ahead, Alan.
I appreciate that. We try.
Wear it as a badge of honor, my friend. All right, Alan, let's try to win you a prize here. We were talking about Teddy Roosevelt, and the guy liked animals, and he had all sorts of – he had dogs, cats, horses, birds, rats, and guinea pigs, but he also had some other weird animals. What – can you just name one of the other weird animals he had?
A badger named Josiah.
Yeah, this is, you're absolutely right. I'm curious, how did you know the badger's name?
Actually, you want the truth, I cheated.
Alan.
I actually had to Google it.
You had to Google it? Why? Well, I'm fairly certain most everybody else on hold did as well. Alan, it's interesting. The National Park Service has a great story up about the many pets that the 26th president of the United States had. So get this. He also had snakes. He had the badger. They had a lion, a hyena. I hope they didn't let the lion just kind of wander around.
Yeah, really.
Well, unless the Democrats are coming for a visit.
Yeah. So, I'd want one.
Had a hyena, he had a zebra, and not one, not two, but five bears.
Wow.
Ooh, mercy.
Wow.
And you think the secret service has it bad with Sarge. Yeah. All right, Alan, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to make sure that Grace gets you a terrific prize out of the prize closet. In the meantime, we're going to throw out another trivia question. I told you folks, we were ready to have a little bit of fun on today's program, and may as well, since we're getting ready to go to war. So here is the next question. This president had an unfortunate incident. He got stuck in a bathtub. Can you tell us the name of the president who was so large that he got stuck in the White House bathtub? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. Don't Google, 844-747-8868, and we're going to hook you up with a prize out of the prize closet. So again, folks, we're following the developments out of Russia, and if I'm a betting man, it looks like Putin is trying to reestablish the old Soviet Union. And if that's the case, Poland has a lot to be concerned about. We know it's between, about 400 miles between Kiev and Warsaw. Folks, I'm telling you, it's getting ugly over there. We could have fixed this if Donald Trump had still been in the White House. We'll be right back, America. So Grace Baker, I've been a little under the weather, and so that's why the voice is a little froggy today.
You got to rest your voice.
It was one of those weekends where I'm out of it. Literally yesterday, I was awake 4 hours yesterday, and I thought I've got to get some rest or I'm just not going to be worth anything today. But so I ended up going to bed. I woke up and took a shot of V8 juice. And then I followed that with a NyQuil chaser, and then I was out for the rest. I didn't wake up till 6 o'clock this morning.
That'll knock you out.
I was out of it. That being said, during my lucid moments, which was 4 hours on Sunday, I thought, man, I want to. It was for some reason I was watching a series on Amazon. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called Reacher.
Dad was telling me about it.
So the movie with Tom Cruise sucked.
That's what
horrible.
He told me.
But the series, did your dad like the series?
Yeah, he likes the series. He didn't like the movie.
It's amazing. And the guy who stars in the, his name just escapes me, but the guy who stars in the TV series Reacher, he's about, 6'3", 6'4"? I mean, the character's sure. Just a giant of a guy.
Sure.
And the great thing about this series, the guy makes no apologies for being a guy and has very little dialogue. And I like that.
Very little dialogue?
A lot of action. Yeah, he's cracking heads, you know, but but it all makes sense. When the guy speaks, he's actually saying something.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't sound like my kind of show then.
The man is the man. This is a man who is filled with toxic masculinity. It's spewing from his pores. And I think that's why most of us guys, every man I've talked to about this, they're like, man, that's a great new series. So anyway, I was thinking, okay, speaking of Tom Cruise, I liked him in Top Gun. And I thought, wait a second, for some reason, I did not watch the Top Gun sequel that came out called Maverick. It was supposed to be out in 2019, and the movie still is not out yet.
What?
Yeah, they delayed the...
Because of COVID?
I must have missed that. Yeah, but apparently so.
Okay.
I missed it. So anyway, find out the guy who's starring in that and let me know. Get back to me.
Okay.
I can't remember the guy's name. It's driving me nuts. All right. In the meantime, let's go back to the phones. And we are going to try our best to win somebody a prize. Let's go to Kathy in Georgia. Listening to us on WDUN. Kathy, I'm telling you, there's something about trivia and that part of Georgia.
Are you talking to me?
I hope I am. Otherwise, I'm talking to myself.
I didn't know if I was the only Kathy calling or not.
Kathy, you're it.
I have to tell you, I didn't Google it. It is a guess, but I have to give credit to my husband. He's the one that said TAF.
Well, well, hold on. Let me give you the question. We have to make this official, Kathy.
Sorry about that.
FCC rules and regulations. No, not really. I just made that up. But all right, Kathy, we need to know which president got stuck in a bathtub.
President Taft.
Yeah, that is correct. President William Howard Taft got stuck in a bathtub. Fortunately, he got unstuck. And this is a direct quote. Grace, turn your microphone on. Where did you find this quote?
I Googled it.
Kathy, cover your ears. Although there's considerably more naked flesh on display than in the average picture book, there's no denying the riveting spectacle of Taft's struggle out of the bathtub.
That was pretty great.
I just lost my appetite. All right. Well, Kathy, congratulations. And we're going to put you on hold. And Grace is going to send you a copy of my book, Our Daily Biscuit. Devotions with a drawl. There you go. By the way, folks, now is also a great time to tell you about a new group, a new organization that is supporting our radio program. And we love all of our sponsors. We really do. And we're very thankful for them. And we hope that you would consider checking out what they do and what they have to offer. AMAC is America's largest organization for conservative seniors. If you are 50 years of age or older, you are eligible to join AMAC. And they're doing some incredible work. They're fighting for the American people and especially for American seniors in Washington, D.C. So I want to encourage you to check out AMAC and the great benefits they offer. And they have some pretty nice benefits, including great discounts on hotels, on travel, and restaurants. And the best part of all, your membership is going to support your values. Go to amac.us/starns today to start your discounts. Again, that's amac.us/starns, and you're going to be able to get all the information you need about AMAC. All right, I got to share this story with you. This is a bizarre story out of California. So a group of parents are very upset. Turns out there was their local school, they were promoting a summer camp. And the summer camp, if you know anything about summer camp, if you've been to summer camps, you have guy counselors for the guys and girl counselors for the girls. Well, in this particular instance, the summer camp let the teachers who identify as gender neutral bunk with kids no matter their sexuality. And the parents are just livid about this. They went to the local TV station, and here's the report they filed. Cut one.
Micah, the parents tell us that their children came home from camp. They were asking a lot of questions about gender and pronouns. The parents then reached out to the camp director, who told them that counselors, biological males who identify as they, them, are permitted to spend the night in cabins with the young girls. In the parking lot of Weaver Elementary School in Los Alamitos, a group of parents...
No parent should feel the way I feel after knowing what could have happened to my daughter.
Upset by the sleeping arrangements at a school-organized science camp.
I contacted the school and I asked them if they were able to confirm that there was not a man actually sleeping in the same cabin as the girls. They were not able to confirm that.
The parents say their fifth grade girls told them some of the biologically male counselors at Camp Pally in San Bernardino identified as they, them, and spent 3 nights sleeping in cabins with the young girls.
They're asleep. They use the shower. They go to the restroom.
Camp Pally confirms, per California state law, we place staff in cabins they identify with. Parents say they're not accusing anyone of a crime, but they are angry the school district did not let parents know about the policy. A spokesperson told us the district takes all complaints and concerns seriously and is currently investigating. These parents say they just want others to be informed of the policy so they can make decisions for their own families.
it's awful that children had to even experience this in fifth grade camp. If I was aware of it and I had initialed something saying that this was going to be done at this outdoor science camp, I would have kept my child home.
And there you have it. That is what the indoctrination looks like. The kids go to science camp. We're talking about a bunch of fifth graders. They're going to science camp. And then the counselors, who, by the way, let's just call it for what it is here. You've got little girls, and then you've got men who identify as they, thems, biological men, sleeping in the same bunkhouses with these girls. And they're trying to indoctrinate these kids. That's why the kids, the fifth graders, came home asking their parents all about pronouns. You think kids just spontaneously start asking about pronouns? No, of course not. This is what the indoctrination sounds like. But thank goodness you've got some moms and dads out there in California who still understand that this is incredibly wrong. Now, the parents say, well, we don't think anything criminal was going on. I don't agree. The mere fact that they kept this information from mom and dad was the sign. That tells me they were up to something, no good. Remember what the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir sang a couple of months back. They're coming for your children. Folks, this is what that looks like. Even at fifth grade science camp, they're coming for your children. Now, my question to you is, what would you do, mom, dad, if you found out that your male teacher was shacking up with your fifth grader at science camp? We're going to give out our phone number here, 844-747-8868. Also, a final trivia question on this President's Day. President's Day was created to celebrate and honor which president of the United States? President's Day, originally created to honor which president of the United States? Give us a call if you know the answer, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this President's Day, busy day here at the Liberty University Studios. Let's go right to the phones. Oklahoma, Shelley, listening to us on KWON. Now, Shelley, what part of Oklahoma do you live in?
It's Shelley.
Well, all right, very good. Now, is that how far away is that from Bartlesville?
It's in Bartlesville.
Oh, is that right? So it's like a suburb?
Yes.
All right.
Well, KWON. No, Shelley's my name.
Bartlesville,
where's the radio?
So you're from, all right, very good. I got it, Shelley. All right, thank you. Well, thanks for clearing that up. So
I know it. I've noticed sometimes you need a little bit of clarity, but that's okay. All radio people need a good backup.
It's true. I mean, it really is. And it's, you know, coming off a bad weekend, you know, it's hard to get the engines going, to be honest with you.
Yes, and I was so sorry to hear you hadn't been feeling well. I hope you're better.
Well, you're kind to say that. After a couple of shots of the NyQuil and with a DayQuil chaser, I feel pretty good. Yeah, to be honest.
Well, that's
with you.
Good. You know, my grandmother, you know, the old folks, they just go with hot toddies. It's amazing.
You know, I have heard about that. Or apple brandy is preferred. So
most, it may not help, but you really don't care.
Shelley, I love it. That's funny. By the way, I have to brag on your radio station. You guys have a great locally owned news talk radio station there in Bartlesville.
Yes, we do. I could tell you a lot about the history. It is a tremendous station.
Well, we love them. We love them. And I've actually been there. I was speaking at Oklahoma Wesleyan University many years ago, and came.
Yes.
We went to visit, and they gave me a tour. You guys have one of the coolest but weirdest downtowns with those high-rise buildings. It's just and the flank as the Frank Lloyd Wright building you have there.
Exactly. There is a lot of history to Bartlesville, and it's the home, you know, of Phillips Petroleum. So, Wooler Rock, did you make it out to Wooler Rock? That is the coolest place too.
No, I did not. So I'm gonna. I told the guys at KWON we're gonna have to be out there and do an event. And when I do, yes. I'm gonna have to get a list of all the places I need to go visit.
You just keep my number, and I will be your tour guide.
I love it.
There is the coolest stuff to Bartlesville. I can fix you up.
It is the most. Folks, if you haven't been, you've got to go. It's not too far of a drive out of Tulsa, but it's just one of those places where you want to spend the day. There's a lot of history there, and it's just a fascinating place. So, and great country western music too. We went out.
Well, not only country western, but did you not see this stuff with OK Mozart?
No,
they started a festival here that was OK Mozart. And it started off with the classical, but it had the orchestras that would come from New York and people from literally around the world. And they had partnerships in with, you know, Mozart from overseas that would come here and our stuff there. And we're pretty renowned for a lot of nifty neat stuff.
You see, you learn something new every day on this radio program.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, I almost said we got to go, Shelly, but we got to get you a prize. We have a question on the table. So President's Day, it was created to celebrate and honor which president of the United States?
George Washington.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Woo-hoo, indeed. Congratulations. You are correct. And Shelly, you're going to be getting a signed copy of my new book called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. So I think you'll enjoy that.
I will. I've been wanting to read it. I'm really excited.
Wonderful.
And well, I'm more excited for you to come to Bartlesville.
Oh, we're coming. We're going to be coming. You just we'll just stay tuned, and we're working on all the details, but we'll be there.
All right.
I want you to hang tight. We're going to get Grace to pick up the phone, and she's going to get all of your particulars there. No, folks, it really is a great town, but they have these high-rises. It was a big oil industry town, and, I mean, these high-rises – it's just like, let's say, for example, all right, we'll use Gainesville, Georgia, for an example. It's about the same size community. Just imagine if you had, you know, 20, 30-story buildings right smack in the middle of your downtown. It's just kind of unusual for a town that size, but it's just absolutely good people, great food, and it's just a fun place to check out. So if you're on vacation, it's worth a drive. And by the way, Gainesville, Georgia is a lot of fun, too. You guys have that a great pizza joint out on the square. And I know that our good friends over at WDUN took us out there, and there's this great place to get a chili dog. One of the best chili dog in America is right there in Gainesville, Georgia, right off of the square. I keep forgetting the name of that place, and I know people from Gainesville will remind me. But if you're going there, just go downtown and say, Todd Starnes, where is that place that Todd's always talking about getting a good hot dog? And they'll point you directly to the place. Everybody knows where that place is. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. There is a story on Politico. Speaking of President's Day, the Politico co-founder is now calling for the elimination of President's Day. John Harris, writing an op-ed, says it's time to cancel President's Day. He says that Americans on the left and the right should agree to do away with the federal holiday. He says a democracy really should not be mythologizing presidents at all. From the left, it seems obvious that we don't need a holiday honoring 46 presidents, all of them men. From the right, it seems obvious we don't need to be honoring the aggrandizement of Washington-based politicians. Well, for one thing, we're not aggrandizing Washington-based politicians. We're aggrandizing presidents of these great United States who have come from all over the place, but I don't believe any president has actually been elected from Washington, D.C. But I wonder if Mr. Harris would be so apt to suggest that maybe we should do away with MLK holiday. I mean, if you're going to go down that path, talking about aggrandizing people. He points out that woke public schools have renamed institutions that honor past presidents like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln. He suggests that President's Day should be replaced by Citizens' Day. You know, this guy is clueless. He doesn't seem to understand that's what's so great about President's Day is that our presidents are, in fact, citizens. We, the people, get to decide who the president of the United States is going to be. Our good buddy Dan Gaynor, who is the vice president over at Media Research Center, summed it up this way. Whatever Harris writes is likely to be the most stupid thing you read that day. And he's absolutely correct. Good for you. Good for you, Dan. So there you have it, folks. Well, look, it's been a lot of fun. We're going to have a busy week. Packing our bags already for CPAC. Hope you're going to be down there. If you do, swing by and say hello to the whole team. We will be there starting Friday. We'll be doing our show there Friday. And I'll be speaking on Saturday afternoon. You folks in Lakeland, Tennessee, I'll be coming out and speaking to your folks, to you folks, on Wednesday. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. A lot of great guests coming up and a lot of great calls. Congrats to all of our winners today. You folks get out there and be good, America.